This is Gospel Tide Hour program number 10 for airing March the 5th, 1995. The program will begin immediately after the countdown. 3, 2, 1. This is the international broadcast of the Gospel Tide Hour, originating in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Reverend Charlie B. Byers is your radio minister. Today, Reverend Byers' message is titled, The Obedient Seeker, as he shares from his series from the Book of Acts. The series is titled, The Rise and Conquest of Christianity. Today's message is taken from Acts chapter 22, verses 9 through 11. Today's music will feature the Wrights, who sing, Unmerited Favor of God, and by Sondra Wingert, who closes the program with the song titled Sweet Gentle Voice. The choir will be singing two songs, Grace Greater Than All Our Sin, and I've Been Changed. Heavyweight champion George Foreman is in the news again, as he has come back at the age of 44 to become the champion again. In giving his testimony, here's a part of what he said concerning his conversion to Christ in the San Juan dressing room after the Jimmy Young fight. I felt my head And when I brought my hands down, I saw there was blood on the palms of both hands. Then I looked down and saw there was blood on my feet. I was reminded there was blood on the palms of Jesus and on his head and on his feet. At that moment, I died. I died for God. Then I got life as a new creature. I became like a small, trusting baby. I had never read the Bible before. Now I read it all the time. I understand it. I want to explain to others so that they, like me, can know the truth. This is what happens to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. They have that new life. Now Reverend Byers is coming to pray.
Eternal and almighty God, the seasons come and the seasons go, but you forever remain the same, and your years do not fail, and your love and your goodness endures forever. Praise the Lord. You rescue men from the clutches of the devil. You heal broken hearts with your miracle of grace. Now bless the word of the Lord as it reaches out to many people this hour. Some will hear for the first time. Others have heard the word of the Lord again and again. And in either case, accompany the word with the power of the Holy Spirit and help each hearer to understand the way of salvation and peace and to comprehend the love of God for sinners. And Lord, here's a special prayer for the children and youth of our land, children and youth who are confronted daily with floods of vice and evil, and they are endangered by sin and crime on the streets. I rebuke Satan and all of his emissaries who are out to hinder those who would serve Christ. And there are some persons who are sick, yes, distressing illness that none can cure but you. Other people have been brought into the bondage of sin and slavery of sin. Oh God, reach out and touch everyone whose heart turns toward God. Make these miracle moments as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Gospel Tide Hour. I'm Morris Bender, director for the Gospel Tide Hour, and I'd like to thank you for listening today to this broadcast. We also encourage you to pray with us for our mission ministry to the world. We are broadcasting in 10 languages, where almost one half the world could hear in their own language. We are concerned about your spiritual life also, and invite you to write to us and share any needs you might have so that we can pray for you and send you literature that may be helpful and encourage you. We also need the gifts of many of our listeners to keep us on the air as we broadcast in this mission outreach to the world. Will you take time and write to us today? Our address is the Gospel Tide Hour, Post Office Box 151, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. Or in Canada, Post Office Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. That's the Gospel Tide Hour, Post Office Box 151, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. Or in Canada, Post Office Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. Here's Reverend Byers in today's message, The Obedient Seeker.
Thank you, Reverend Bender. How much must any person know about theology or the Christian faith to be saved? Must one be thoroughly versed in the various aspects of dispensationalism, be able to understand all about eschatology and the ministry of angels and the mystery of the Eucharist or baptism, church attendance, Christian behavior? Before one can be saved, must he understand all of that? How complicated is the way into the kingdom of God? Well, here's what the prophet Isaiah said about it 700 years before Christ. Isaiah 35:8. The prophet Isaiah said, the way was so simple and plain and easy that a wayfaring man, that's the ordinary Mr. Man on the street, the wayfaring man, though he be a fool, that means somebody who's unlearned or hasn't gone to college or hasn't understood all the ramifications of the Christian faith in seminary, the wayfaring man, though he be unlearned, shall not err therein. Just so simple and plain. And the vilest offender and the best informed Pharisee all come on the ground level, where the entry into the kingdom of God is simple for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ the Savior from our sins and will obediently follow the call of the Holy Spirit. That person can and will be saved. The night that Paul and Silas were sitting out in the Philippian jail singing their songs, praises to the Lord, with their bleeding backs, that night God sent an earthquake to shake off their chains. And it cost the jailer to rush to the apostles and ask, "What shall I do to be saved?" It seemed like he was so shook up he felt like he stood on the very verge of eternity. And he wanted to know, "What shall I do to be saved?" Now, it's very evident that that jailer knew little or nothing about what might be called the details, the theology of the Christian faith. And believe me, Paul and Silas were not about to go into a long dialogue, discourse, as to the details of past history and the various aspects of being a Christian. That jailer was probably no ignoramus, but nevertheless, he needed to know about the way of salvation. He was like the wayfaring man, the Mr. Man in the street. He was one unlearned in the things of the Christian faith. And Paul and Silas had a very concise answer to him, one that didn't confuse him, one that he could understand, and one that would work instantly and miraculously. They told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. The result was that before very long, that jailer was washing the stripes, from the backs, the bleeding backs of the men that he'd beaten the night before. They did not raise 1,000 questions. They simply said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the jailer believed. God performed the miracle. The jailer was converted. And that brings us to our lesson this time, which surrounds the life of the Apostle Paul. We find him in Jerusalem. He's giving his testimony about his conversion from being a proud Pharisee to a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the Damascus Road experience, Acts 22:9-11. Paul's testifying before a crowd of people in Jerusalem. And Paul said, "They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid." He'd mentioned about the light had shined from heaven around about him. "And they saw the light, they and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?'" Now, I want you to get that point. Paul said, "What shall I do, Lord?" The Lord answered. The Lord responded, just as he always does when anybody asks that question. "And the Lord said unto me, 'Arise, go into Damascus, and there it'll be told you of all things that are appointed for you to do.' So when I could not see for the glory of that light, and I was being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus." Now the result was, Saul was an obedient seeker. He followed the instructions, and he got the results. Now it's always that way. You follow the instructions, you get the results. Somebody else said, when everything else fails, follow the instructions. So Paul was an obedient seeker. He followed the instructions. And as you may recall, this Saul was called of God to be the special missionary to the Gentiles. The key to this great apostleship was his obedience to the voice that came out of the light. A few years later, when Paul was transferred to Caesarea to the judgment hall of Festus, and when given the privilege of giving his testimony before King Agrippa, Paul pointed out to Agrippa. He told Agrippa the whole story and said, "Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision." Obedience is a prime factor in the spiritual progress of any believer. Now, it's really amazing how quickly babes in Christ mature and even become stalwarts in the Christian faith, and how quickly they come to understand what seems like the mysteries of the faith and the details of theology once they become determined to obediently walk with Christ. That was the key to Paul's usefulness in establishing the Christian faith in strange cities abroad and among the learned and the unlearned, whether men mocked and called his ministry foolishness or whether they stumbled over the truth. He went on obediently preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, with the result that people were saved. Now, I like the words of a song that we sometimes hear in worship services, written by John Sammes over 100 years ago. The refrain goes like this: trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, in Acts 22, verse 9 states, a great light shined round about Paul, and he heard the Lord speak to him. And now it's his response which was important. And it is our response to the voice of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit that will determine the degree of our spiritual welfare, and the growth and obedience, the growth of our hearts will depend on our obedience. We progress. Obedience always produces progress. They go together. Well, Paul said, Lord, what do you have me to do? Now, we all know that it's not difficult to teach any person when the heart is open to receive instruction and learn. A student that goes to college and is willing to learn and anxious to learn, well, at least they have a good chance of being on the dean's list. Now, the fact is, you cannot fill a bucket that's already full. If any person has their mind made up and their own ideas and they keep it closed, even Jesus Christ cannot gain access to such a person. The Bible pictures Christ as standing at the door and knocking and seeking entrance, and enters only on invitation. So when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him, he responded in a way that gave Christ the opportunity to show him the next step. What shall I do was the answer, was the question. Arise and go to Damascus was the answer. And believe me, the Lord will specifically tell you what to do when you ask that question. It was the obedience then that led to the next step. As Paul did one thing, then the next step opened up before him. And the Bible says, the prophet Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let me ask you the question. Have you decided to follow Christ? The way is simple and plain. Obediently yield to Christ and follow him. I ask you to make that decision and do that while I pray. Lord, help that seeking heart right now to just obediently mind the Spirit and the Word and follow Christ and know the joy of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I feel his presence as I kneel right here to pray. My heart overflows with love as I receive his cleansing. And I'm renewed and quickened by his mind.
You have just heard the Gospel Tide Hour. You may write to us at the Gospel Tide Hour, Post Office Box 151, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. We invite you to tune in again next week. Until then, may God's richest blessing rest on you.
For the wonderful grace of Jesus.